Welcome to the podcast, Move Forth with Grace. We will be reading the whole Bible in the year 2024. This is such a perfect way to get into God's Word each day and to develop your own relationship with God our Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. I am your host, Angela, and want to first of all say that I am not an expert in theology or church history or a minister, and I never will claim to be. I am a wife and mother who has been reborn and want to be of service to God in gratitude for calling me back home. Welcome to the podcast. The Bible that I will be reading from is the One Year Bible. It is a New Living Translation, and you can find one at www.tyndale.com. This episode is brought to you by the Move Forth brand. It encompasses freedom, health, and God's grace. We are created in God's image perfectly and fearfully and wonderfully. There is nothing that we can do or need to do to earn His grace. He simply gives it to us. I am certified in health and life coaching, but no longer practice. However, I have health tips and resources, products that I love and use, homeschool tips, and merchandise available on my website, and that is www.move-forth.com. One of my favorite products on my website and that I use each day are stem cell activation patches. Stem cell therapy can be very costly and can produce results that are short-lived, which is why these patches are so brilliant and they're not considered to be stem cell therapy. They actually activate our own body's production of stem cells and support our health and well-being, all while optimizing our immune system. You can check those out on my website as well, www.move-forth.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for becoming less like you and more like Jesus. May you move forth with grace today. All right. Well, today is day 98, and we will be reading Deuteronomy 32, 28 through 52, Luke 12, 35 through 39, Psalm 78, 56 through 64, and Proverbs 12, 24. Let's go ahead and begin with our prayer today. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you for always guiding us in our lives and giving us your strength and wisdom. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 32, 28 through 52. But Israel is a senseless nation. The people are foolish without understanding. Oh, that they were wise and could understand this. Oh, that they might know their fate. How could one person chase 1,000 of them, and two people put 10,000 to flight, unless their rock has sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? But the rock of our enemies is not like our rock, as even they recognize. Their vine grows from the vine of Sodom, from the vineyards of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poison, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents, the deadly poison of cobras. The Lord says, am I not storing up these things, sealing them away in my treasury? I will take revenge. I will pay them back. In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive, and their destiny will overtake them. Indeed, the Lord will give justice to his people, and he will change his mind about his servants when he sees their strength is gone, and no one is left, slave or free. Then he will ask, where are their gods, the rocks they fled to for refuge? Where now are those gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their offerings? Let those gods arise and help you. Let them provide you with shelter. Look now, I myself am he. There is no other god but me. I am the one who kills and gives life. I am the one who wounds and heals. No one can be rescued from my powerful hand. Now I raise my hand to heaven and declare, as surely as I live, when I sharpen my flashing sword and begin to carry out justice, I will take revenge on my enemies and repay those who reject me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh, the blood of the slaughtered and the captives and the heads of the enemy leaders. Rejoice with him, you heavens, and let all of God's angels worship him. Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles, and let all the angels be strengthened in him. For he will avenge the blood of his children. He will take revenge against his enemies. He will repay those who hate him and cleanse his people's land. So Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and recited all the words of this song to the people. When Moses had finished reciting all these words to the people of Israel, he added, take to heart all the words of warning I have given you today. Pass them on as a command to your children, so they will obey every word of these instructions. These instructions are not empty words. They are your life. By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you will occupy when you cross the Jordan River. That same day, the Lord said to Moses, go to Moab to the mountains east of the river and climb Mount Nebo, which is across from Jericho. Look out across the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the people of Israel as their own special possession. Then you will die there on the mountain. You will join your ancestors just as Aaron, your brother, died on Mount Hor and joined his ancestors. For both of you betrayed me with the Israelites at the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. You failed to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel there. So you will see the land from a distance, but you may not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel. Luke 12:35-59. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. Their servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I will tell you the truth. He himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. But what if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithful. And a servant who knows that the master wants what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart, three in favor of me and two against, or two in favor and three against. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, when you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower, and you are right. When the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher, and it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Why can't you decide for yourselves what is right? When you are on the way to court with your accuser, try to settle the matter before you get there. Otherwise, your accuser may drag you before the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, who will throw you into prison. And if that happens, you won't be free again until you have paid the very last penny. Psalm 78:56-64. But they kept testing and rebelling against God Most High. They did not obey His laws. They turned back and were as faithless as their parents. They were as undependable as a crooked bow. They angered God by building shrines to other gods. They made Him jealous with their idols. When God heard them, He was very angry, and He completely rejected Israel. Then He abandoned His dwelling at Shiloh, the tabernacle where He had lived among the people. He allowed the ark of His might to be captured. He surrendered His glory into enemy hands. He gave His people over to be butchered by the sword, because He was so angry with His own people, His special possession. Their young men were killed by fire. Their young women died before singing their wedding songs. Their priests were slaughtered, and their widows could not mourn their deaths. Proverbs 12:24. Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. And that concludes our reading time today. All right, let's see what we have in the companion for today. Deuteronomy 32, 49 through 50. Did Moses really die on Mount Nebo, or was he taken away like Enoch and Elijah? Moses was the only person who ever spoke with God face to face. We see this in Exodus 33, 11 and Numbers 12, 8. He was called Israel's greatest prophet. Yet even this great man was not allowed to enter the promised land because he disobeyed God. And we see that in Numbers 20, 12. Unlike Elijah, who was taken from the earth without experiencing death, Moses was to die. And we see this in Deuteronomy 34, 5. As the transfiguration of Jesus, Elijah, who never died, appeared in his earthly body, and Moses, who did die, also appeared in a body. The place of Moses' burial was undoubtedly to remain unknown. And we'll see that in Deuteronomy 34, 6. So that his grave would not become a focal point of worship and lead to a depreciation of the true worship of God. All right, over in Luke today, Luke 12, 40, how can I be ready for Christ's return? Christ's return is at an unexpected time. At an unexpected time is not a trap, a trick by which God hopes to catch us off guard. In fact, God is delaying his return so more people will have the opportunity to become believers. And we see that in 2 Peter 3, 9. Before Christ's return, we have time to live out our beliefs and to reflect Jesus' love as we relate to others. People who are ready for their Lord's return are 1. Not hypocritical, but sincere. We see that in Luke 12, 1. 2. Not fearful, but ready to witness. That is in verses 12, 4 through 9. 3. Not worried, but trusting in Luke 12, 25 through 26. 4. Not greedy, but generous in Luke 12, 34. And 5. Not lazy, but diligent in Luke 12, 37. In Luke 12, 50, what is the, quote, terrible baptism in Luke 12, 50? The baptism to which Jesus referred was his crucifixion. Jesus was dreading the physical pain, but even worse would be the spiritual pain of complete separation from God that would accompany his death for the sins of the world. Because when we are sinning, we are separate from God. And we see in the Gospels that when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest, he was just in such anguish. And even his blood or his sweat was turning to drops of blood. And he was speaking of this, the total and complete separation from God that he was going to experience. In Luke 12, 54 through 59, why does Jesus talk about the weather in relation to his second coming? For most of recorded history, the world's principal occupation was farming. The farmer depended directly on the weather for his livelihood. He needed just the right amounts of sun and rain to make his living, and he grew skilled at interpreting natural signs. Jesus was announcing an earth-shaking event that would be much more important than the year's crops, the coming of God's kingdom. Like a rainstorm or a sunny day, there were signs that the kingdom would soon arrive. But Jesus' hearers, though skilled at interpreting weather signs, were intentionally ignoring the signs of the times. Let's go ahead and finish with our prayer today. Father, we see in our readings today just how long you've been with us, how long you have been faithful to us. All of your faithful promises. And we thank you. We thank you for being just, for being fair, for being clear, and for providing for us everything that we could possibly need in our lives, especially in lives that we get to choose to walk right with you and to walk next to your son, Jesus. We just thank you for the opportunity for this right way of life, We thank you for giving us your strength, your patience, your wisdom, and guidance. And we just pray that we can recognize and receive those things from you rather than relying on our own thoughts and feelings. We thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior, for being willing to take on all the sin of the earth and to lay down your life for each and every one of us so that we can be a part of God's family once again and have eternal life. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that concludes our episode for today. Thank you so much for being here and joining in. I look forward to being with you in the next episode. Take care.